What is up, you guys? Welcome back to Small Talk What's It, the podcast with your host, Cindy Matone. And we are in September, baby. Four more months of 2022. It's wild. But I've been excited for September, honestly, for like a minute now. I was kind of over summer. I'm very ready for the fall season, cooler weather. And also new seasons are symbolic of changes in energy and just a new chapter in life. And I feel like we all kind of need that right now. So I was very particular about the guests that I wanted to bring on to kick off the fall season. And so this guest is all about kind of realigning, refocusing, and really finding your purpose and how to do that. So if anyone listening is in a kind of a funky place right now, or I don't know, maybe they're just like looking for something different, today's episode should really help assist with all of that. And I'm excited to introduce you to today's guest. So let's get into it. Okay, guys, so this week I'm chatting with meditation and breathwork coach Dominique Perkowski. After my first phone call with Dom, I knew that I wanted to learn more about her journey. In this episode, we talk about how to find your identity when you're feeling lost and how to show up exactly as you are. Dom's journey began when she had an identity crisis after discovering that the fashion industry, an industry she always dreamed about, no longer aligned with what she was truly seeking. Then after listening to her intuition and picking up her first book on meditation, she finally began to feel validated in everything she'd been feeling. She also helps us in this episode further understand what meditation is, how it's healed her, advice on how to meditate, and so, so much more. She even shares a crazy experience she had preparing for a 10-day silent meditation retreat. Be sure to listen for that. And then when you guys are done listening to this episode, head to the next episode because Dom treats us to a 20-minute meditation session for her new program, The Shift. I got super emotional and it's so worth it. You guys have to listen in. So you guys need to listen to that after you learn more about Dom. But with that said, let's sit back, relax, and get into the episode. Hey guys, I'm here with Dom now, and we've been talking all week, and I've been so looking forward to this episode and just jumping in, and I'm a little bit under the weather, so like kind of ending this week on like a positive and chill note, I'm so here for. So hi Dom, how are you?
Hi, I'm so good. Thanks for having me today. I also love how authentic you are about like the fact that you're under the weather and still showing up here. It's so beautiful.
Oh, obviously, of course. But I love to keep it real here. But no, we chatted on the phone last week? Like 2 weeks ago. And I got to know a little bit about you. And we actually know each other through our friend Paige DeSorbo. And so when I discovered you on the IG, I was like, this girl is just so authentic and real. And I wanted to hear more of your story. And so, you know, I'm excited for this because I feel like this is what the world needs more of today, is like authenticity and keeping it real. And I think a lot of people have a hard time like expressing themselves and kind of like, you know, unpacking all of that trauma. So we're going to unpack all of that today. But first, you know, first, how is life? Like what's going on right now?
You know, life is good. I mean, now it's a little bit better. July was a little bit heavy. I think a lot of us were experiencing it. At least I know that my friends were experiencing it. I like to blame it on the Cancer new moon and the Capricorn super moon.
Yeah.
But it was a little bit emotionally heavy. Felt like I was also going through a big transition in my life. I just moved to doing meditation more full time. I just left my full time role. Big celebrations, but you know, as big celebrations do and big transitions do, a lot of our subconscious beliefs pop up. So it was a little bit of working through that. Now I feel in a space where I've kind of gotten through that and I'm just so excited about the future. So Leo season August has been so wonderful so far. We're only 5 days in, but it's already been a huge change.
Yeah. Well, a few things. Number one, congrats, leaving the full-time job. That's like major, like a testament to like how much like you're growing as a brand and as a person. But also, yeah, July was heavy. And like, even for me, like some heavy shit was going on just emotionally. So the fact that other people were feeling that too, makes me feel like less alone and a little more validated, which is nice to hear. But I would love, so before we get into like this journey you're on now, let's backtrack a little bit. Like, what were you like growing up? Like, what did you study? What were you, just who were you?
Well, let me introduce myself first.
Yes, yes.
Everybody listening. So hi everyone, I'm Dom. I don't know if you guys know this, but there might be a write-up in the podcast, but I am a meditation and breathwork coach now. And it's been a long journey to get here that was full of ebbs and flows. So before I was doing this, I was a marketing human being. Like I was actually thinking about this when I saw the questions that you had answered and how full circle this journey has been for me, which is I recently picked up a book that was the first book that kind of set me out on my journey. And I don't know if we talked about this, but it was a classic, hilarious, like law of attraction book called You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. Amazing. And I recently picked it up for like some inspo, and I saw all of the notes from my 2014 self when I first picked up the book, and it just like resonated with me so much. And I'm like, this is all the stuff that I've been talking about to nobody except myself, because I didn't feel like anybody could relate to that aspect of me. So I've known I wanted to do this for a while, but I was really caught up in, I wanted to be in fashion, and then I tried out fashion and it didn't work out for me. I didn't love the environment. Then I went and pivoted into marketing, which was a little bit actually closer to what I do now, not at all in the same way, but in the sense that marketing is a lot about psychology and understanding humans and trying to resonate with humans as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And just me particularly, whenever I did marketing, I was like, how can I bring more creativity in the world? How can I bring more good into the world through budgets, marketing budgets, all of that? Because I see marketing as such a big form of communication that we can really use to impact the world positively and create connections as brands. So I've been doing that since I graduated college. And now I moved into a more full-time role with meditation. It's so funny how when you're on the journey, you don't think you're doing anything right sometimes. You think you're like, what is my purpose? What am I doing? And then you get into a place where you feel more aligned with yourself, and you look back on all of those moments and you're kind of like, this has built up the person that I am now. The only reason I can show up in the way that I can is because I prepared, and now I'm here and the opportunity presented itself. So that's kind of, I hope I answered your question there. I know I went on a little.
No, I love that. And it's such a good reminder too, that like, you may not be exactly where you necessarily feel like you should be, but you have to trust that like there are seeds that are being planted along the way, and you have to trust that eventually like it will grow into what it's meant to be. But to say that any experience you have, like, you know, oh, this, you know, this is bullshit right now, or it means nothing. Like, you take a little something from everything that you do. So you may not be in marketing anymore, but like, you learn so much from that experience. You got to like, trust that like, there's a flow and there's a process happening.
It's also like, Steve, I remember when I was going through, after I had graduated college, I really associated fashion with my identity. Like, I was going to high school programs for it. I wanted to be the next big fashion mogul, the next Anna Wintour. I talk about this all the time. And then I got into the industry and it wasn't me, and I fell apart, and I kind of had an identity crisis at 22, which now it's like so funny to think about, because like, I had so much more life to live.
Right.
And I still do. And I remember listening to Steve Jobs's commencement speech at, I think it was Stanford in 2005. And he talks about the way that he had built up Apple, and he was like a college dropout that was like sneaking into classes, and he didn't even know that all of these little things would build up Apple one day. And it was something that I really resonated with. And so I'm coming out with a newsletter because this, that experience of reading the book and recognizing that 2014 me had no idea what was in store for me hit me so hard that I was like eating nachos as I was
amazing.
And I started like sobbing out of gratitude just for the opportunity to be here now in this moment to actualize the stuff that I wanted to do in 2014. It was just like, it completely put everything into perspective for me. But you are kind of, my new next newsletter is going to be about how you are always kind of being guided, even if you don't realize it. And if you just allow yourself to relax into the moment and take everything that you can from the experience, always going to be learning stuff. You're always going to be taking stuff. And basically the only reason I was able to immediately start doing what I'm doing and build it up so well is because I've had 5 years or 6 years of practice behind me doing a bunch of other stuff that didn't work out or didn't resonate, that when something resonated and hit, I took all of those skills and just went for it with what resonated with me the most. So yeah. It is.
And it does require a certain surrendering to like the process. You have to really be like, you have to really trust like what's happening. And I think a lot of people really, really struggle with that, because we live in a world where like we want instant gratification and we want control. And it's like, you have to really surrender. And like, I think that's the biggest challenge for people. But so this journey you go on, you know, how, you know, what was the initial, I know we talked a little bit about it, but like, what was the inspiration for like kind of starting all of this? And, you know, you can touch on that however you want to.
Yeah. So I think I've always kind of been into this stuff. We talked about this in private, but it was just inspired by my childhood and some of the things that I saw growing up in childhood. I think a lot of us come from maybe relationships that raised us that didn't always feel right. And even if they loved us to the most of their capacity, we have to remember that as a society, no one has, this is the thing that blows my mind the most, is that no one has been taught to take care of their mental health. No one, not our parents, not our grandparents, nobody. So when we come into the world and we start not relating to the people that are around us, or maybe feeling like something's lacking or something's missing, or we can't relate to the way that the people who raised us, or I don't know, the people who are just surrounded by us, act and feel and love and all of these things, then you start to see the gap. And I think that that was something that was present in my childhood, and I have a great relationship with my parents now. But it was kind of something that made me think, okay, well, I want to be able to respond and be able to take care of my mind. And so from a very young age, from like middle school, my dad even says, I was reading these self-help books, self-development books, like I had all of these. And it truly started to hit me around in college. Like I mentioned, I picked up my first Law of Attraction book.
Yeah.
And like, I remember picking up this book and reading it. And in the, in prior to that, I had spent, I'm an only child, so I spent a lot of time alone journaling, thinking about these thoughts on my own. I would just like sit with myself sometimes and have very introspective moments before I even knew what I was doing. And it would come to me like these thoughts and ideas about how to positively impact your mind. And then I picked up this Law of Attraction book and I was like, I feel seen for the first time in my life. And I remember running downstairs. It was during like Christmas or November or Thanksgiving. And I remember being like, this is what I've been saying to my parents. And they were like, what? And I was like, this is what I've been saying. I've been saying all this stuff. I can't believe this book is literally saying what I've been talking about to nobody.
Yeah. You felt validated. Yeah.
I felt so validated. And that kind of started my journey down this route. And I mean, again, it's a journey. So you go through peaks and valleys and you learn something and you apply it into experience and it becomes wisdom. And then something like a low hits you and other stuff comes up and you have those tools, but you don't have all of the tools. So what led me to this journey, specifically meditation, what got me first meditating was the identity crisis that I experienced after graduating college and not knowing what my next step was, because I was always a person who, I think we talked about in this beginning, likes a plan, likes to have control, likes to do this, likes to do that. And when, at the time, I didn't know that this was happening, but when my intuition was screaming so loud against my mental consciousness, meaning that like the situation that I put myself in was so not right for me, that my intuition had to scream so loud for me to get out of it, which felt like just a lot of anxiety constantly. I ended up getting out. Then I didn't know what I wanted to do. I, for like almost a year, spent every day crying, just feeling very, very hopeless. And that's when I first started meditating, which is usually the, what brings us to a journey, is like a big low.
Yeah.
I always recommend people start before they hit the big low, because then you're like fighting your thoughts as you're like meditating. So that's what started my journey into meditation. It was just having an identity crisis. I found a book. It taught me how to meditate. I sat in meditation, had a crazy experience. And then after that, it was really kind of an on and off practice that I carried with me through the years. 2019, I started to get a little bit more serious about it. I was doing it more consistently, but it was in the kind of case where I would meditate for a month, like a month and a half.
Where were you doing it? Were you like, was it on like YouTube videos? Where did you even like learn like your process of meditation?
So the book that I picked up taught me how to meditate on my own.
It did.
So that
okay.
That was the first time that I tried to meditate on my own, but I did use guided apps a lot more often. So I was using, at the time, Inscape had a studio in Flatiron that was right near the job that I was working at. And I loved it. Like, it was a dome. It was gorgeous. They had audio guided meditations as well. So I was doing that. And then anything on YouTube, you go through different peaks and valleys of what kind of meditations you need. So when I was first starting out, spiritual meditations were really helpful for me. And then I got into the more mindfulness and guided meditations. And so I would do them for a consistent period of time. And then I'd be like, wow, I feel great. Life is great right now.
Right.
And then I would fall off of it because I thought everything was great. I didn't need to meditate anymore. And then lo and behold, it was meditation that was like kind of carrying me through it. And so when 2020 hit, a lot of stuff in my life just blew up at the start of the pandemic, beyond just being in a global pandemic.
Right.
It was a lot of like family stuff, relationship stuff, And it's actually, I talked to an astrologer later about it. He was like, it was your Pluto return, which is apparently a time where external things shake you so hard that you have to wake up, which is definitely the experience that I had.
Yeah.
And all this stuff that I had repressed my entire life kind of came to the surface. And so that was a really hard time for me where I was, I mean, I don't know if we talk about, like, people talk about spiritual awakenings a lot, if that's what we want to correlate it to, that's what we want to correlate it to. But it was something where I had just seen how I'd repressed the person that I wanted to be and how I was actually blocking myself. And between therapy sessions, meditation was the thing that just helped me get grounded within myself and find that level of peace. And then slowly but surely it started to become a transformative practice because I was working with a spiritual coach, my therapist, and he taught me how to meditate in a way where I would bring it out actually into the world with me. And then I started to see my life shift slowly but surely. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. So you mean that I react like this to something instead of responding from this place? And then I would stop those reactions and I would start to respond from the place that I actually wanted to, no matter how difficult it felt to do. And then it became commonplace. And then that became my behavior. And I shifted more into the person that I wanted to be. And like Joe Dispenza and a lot of people call it closing the gap on your authentic self, like closing the gap between who you think you are and who you've been showing up as in your life unconsciously and the person that you actually are and the person that you want to show up consciously as. And like, I felt that gap closing and I was like, this is transformative.
Is this like, is like your sun and your moon, like slowly closing?
No, it's like such a hard thing to explain.
No, I know what it is. Cause I feel like, you know, when you're in, I started meditation, actually in 2020. So talk about starting it during a low point. And I was using like the Headspace app or whatever, but you know, they would start off with like the guided meditations that were like super short, like, you know, 2-3 minutes. And then obviously the more time that you do it, like you practice like longer ones. And maybe it's not guided. It's like you just like being there with yourself. And it's really kind of like this release. And it's you kind of like having this internal conversation with yourself, being really aware of everything that's around you and practicing that. It does carry on into like, you know, your everyday life. And I remember this one that really stood out to me, which was like when you're having major anxiety, you know, the guided meditation was talking about how, okay, what's happening when you have anxiety? You're having thoughts that are sending, you know, reactions to your body, and then the reactions to your body are sending thoughts to your mind. So it's creating this really unhealthy cycle. And so we said the best way to break that cycle is instead of focusing on the thoughts you're having, focus on physically what's happening to your body. And it kind of like breaks that circle. And I started doing that in my life when I'm having that, I'm like, okay, what's happening? I'm sweating. I'm getting shaky. And so, you know, that was one way how it kind of played into my real life. But to your point though, it does translate to getting to know yourself much deeper. And it just kind of like changing your thought waves and your thought process and everything. So I completely get it.
And also when we meditate to that level, when we stop associating our thoughts with our sensations, we realize the expansiveness of our sensations. So I'm like, I talk about emotions a lot. I'm a Cancer sun, Capricorn moon and rising. So like Capricorn, very repressive. Cancer, very emotional. I didn't feel my emotions until the pandemic, basically. I joke about this all the time. And at the time, I was really scared to feel my emotions because I thought that it meant something about me. I thought that if I felt sad, my life was shit. I thought that if I was anxious, that I was doing something wrong. And then slowly through meditation, I started to recognize that these feelings are just feelings and they can have expansive meanings of self-love. So I would let myself cry and recognize it as a release that I really needed to see the next clear version of myself, or anxiety was just me stretching past my comfort zone. And so even emotions start to take a greater level of meaning to the point where now I see everything as a vehicle for love, which is a really amazing experience, how expansive love can actually be when we allow ourselves to unconditionally love ourselves through the perspective. But I will tell you a crazy meditation experience I had in 2020.
Yes, please do.
What you were just telling me. So this is one of the most impactful meditation experiences I've had. And it's something that I plan on bringing into some of like the programs that I'm now launching in the future. But I had a moment during the pandemic where I was like hell bent on meditating for 45 minutes because I had planned to go to a 10-day silent meditation retreat where all you do for 10 days is meditate, wake up, meditate, eat, meditate. That's all you do. You don't speak, you don't do anything. So I was prepping for it. And so I sat down in a 45-minute meditation and I was like, I'm going to do this. I have the instructions. I know what I have to do. I just have to do a Vipassana meditation where I scan my body up and down and focus on my breath. And that's all I have to do. And when I, this was the longest sit I had ever done. And when I tell you that my mind literally went banana and it was so loud. It was like, you're doing this wrong. You're doing this wrong. You're wasting time. You're wasting time. Why are you doing this? And I was like, nope, I'm going to keep sitting here. I told myself that I would sit here for 45 minutes. I'm not getting up until that bell rings. Mm. And when the bell rang, I got off and I looked at my phone and I'd been doing it right the entire time, but it was such a meeting with my own ego. Mm. It was, and then I started to ask myself, but who was the person that was keeping me sitting? If I can hear my thoughts and they're screaming at me to get off the cushion, to leave because I'm doing it wrong, to do all of this stuff. And it was also having impacts on my body. Like I started shaking. I got really hot at one point. And I was like, then who was the person that was sitting there and observing that and watching that and keeping me sitting? And that's like the first time that I recognized that, not the first time that I recognized I wasn't my thoughts, but the first time that I'd really experienced it to that level where I was like, wow, I really have the power to be able to circumvent my thoughts and actually take action from a place where I'm actually intending to do it.
And that's like what, yeah. And that struggle was like, you like kind of fighting yourself, like you're fighting yourself. And like, that's kind of where it really is, where the rubber meets the road. That's really where like change starts to happen. So it was cool that you like, you know, saw that.
It wasn't like fighting myself more so. It was more fighting my mind, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that our mind is a combination of a lot of beliefs that sometimes aren't even our own. And we can hear them loud and clear in meditation. And we get scared in meditation because we're like, wait, is this me? Is this me? This inner critic? Is this me? Is it true? Because I'm saying it to myself. And what we start to recognize and then do in meditation is that that's not us. That's stuff that we were maybe heard, that maybe society put on us, maybe the experience we had put on us, but they're not true. And we can actually find our true wisdom through meditation and learn to trust it more.
I think you also hear a lot of people will say, I can't meditate because I can't sit there, you know, in silence for like a few minutes. And it's like, why? Like almost you have to ask yourself, like, why is that a problem for you? It's almost like I tell people, you shouldn't, if you can't be at a dinner date alone with yourself for like an hour and a half and just be in your own company, like you should question whether or not like you can, you should be in a relationship. And I know that sounds a little bit harsh, but like you have to really be okay with like being in your own company, like having that, those like daily conversations with yourself. And I feel like meditation is just one form of that. But for somebody that's like listening to this and they're like, I don't know what these guys are talking about. Like, how does somebody get started like in meditation? Like, what would your advice be to for a person that's just very intimidated by the whole thing?
I think that it's valid that sitting alone with our own thoughts is scary. Cause like we mentioned at the front of this podcast, at the start of this podcast, we've never been taught it. Our parents haven't been taught it. No one's been taught it. So validate the fact that it's scary. Advice for somebody that's starting, this is the biggest thing, is that people think it's just for relaxation. And it is, it's a huge relaxation benefit to a certain extent, but it's really transformative because you start to be able to put your focus on your intention, and your intention leads everything in your life. And at first that focus is your breath and meditation, but then it becomes, okay, I want to start a new business. Or then it becomes, I want to bring more compassion into the world. Then it becomes this. And the distractions you face in meditation are a lot like the distractions you face in life. So we can change the way that we show up in the world. And it not only benefits us, but it benefits everybody around us. So one of the biggest things that I say to people, especially my meditation mentorship clients who are like, I just can't get myself to sit down. I can't find a motivation to do it. Find something bigger than you. So when you think about what meditation allows you to do, it allows you to show up more authentically as yourself, meaning that you are more connected to your own sense of joy, your own sense of unconditional love, and your own sense of peace. And so think about the ripple effect that that would have on everybody in your life. So if you think about your kids, maybe you have them, maybe you don't, right? How would it impact to be parenting from a calm, joyful place? How would it impact your loving relationships? How would it impact your clients? How would it impact everybody that you meet if you're able to show up in joy? Because I know from experience, when I allow myself to create that time for myself in meditation and expand and connect to my own inner peace, my own power, everybody around me benefits and everybody gets to put down their walls because I have my walls down and I'm showing up in a place of love and openness. And it creates a ripple effect that touches everybody around us. So long way to say, find something that's bigger to you than find something that you really want that's bigger than yourself to dedicate this to.
Purpose. I love that.
Yeah.
So good. So good. So let's talk about breath work a little bit. What exactly is the difference between meditation and breath work? And how did that, you know, journey begin for you?
So I think I call breath work like a more intense version of meditation, because where in meditation, you kind of build the foundation. I also do recommend that people take the route of doing a few months of meditation, getting used to the experience of it before jumping into breath work, because breath work is a really intense experience. Mm. It's wonderful. In the sense that because we're breathing in a pattern, and so the way that I'm certified is through a 3-part pranayama breath, where you breathe into the stomach, breathe into the chest, and then exhale. You do that for 30 minutes or as long as your body can handle, because you have to build up to it as well. You tap into your consciousness, like your body, way faster, because you can't think as much when you are breathing in that way. And our thoughts also block us, which is the benefit of having meditation. You get to kind of build that foundation of circumventing your thoughts, but you get out of your head and into your body much clearer. You feel lightheaded. And also you have a lot of energy moving through your body. You get embodied much faster. And one of the things that meditation, Eckhart Tolle talks about this, I think, how we have this energy moving through our body and we can feel it in the tingling sensations of our hands, and we can kind of follow that tingling sensation throughout our entire body. When you're in breath work, you feel that so much more intensely. Mm. And so you drop in much faster, and a lot of the subconscious things that you were hiding from yourself come up much faster, and you start to clear them out much faster. So one of my first breath work experiences, the way that I got into it was I'd been meditating for a while. I was talking to my friends about meditation, about how I was like thinking about becoming a meditation coach. And one of my friends connected me to this wonderful, love this girl, breathwork coach, Sam. And I had done a breathwork with her, and it was my first time experiencing it. And I was sobbing. Like, I was just letting loose. Everything was releasing within me, because prior to that, I was a very emotionally repressed person. I really blocked my emotions. I didn't want to feel anything because I was scared of what it meant to me, as we talked about. Mm-hmm. And in that session, I was just letting it all go. I just couldn't help myself. I let it all go. And I'm laughing because my roommate at the time had texted me and was like, "Are you okay? Do you need an ambulance?"
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Just like really, really embodied, really letting it all go. But the release of that felt so amazing. And then I continued to do it over a continued span of time. I ended up getting certified in it through the same teacher that my friend Sam had gotten certified through. His name is David Elliott. He's phenomenal, compassionate, wonderful man. And in that experience, we had done breath work for 5 days straight, 30 minutes every single day. And there was moments where it was like releasing, but then there was moments of like these peak joy where you're kind of like connected to everything around you. And it was beautiful. So breathwork has become a practice for me on a daily basis to just like tune myself up, clean myself out. And especially during the hard moments, to really release some of the subconscious beliefs and connect to that like infinite source of love within me, which exists and can be felt like this within breathwork once you get used to it.
So I've never done breath work. I would love to, you know, do a session with you or like, you know, whatever, you know, sources you recommend. But the thing I could relate it to the most, I remember it was, I think it was in early 2020 before the pandemic, I had a personal trainer that I was just starting with. And we did a really intense workout session. Like it was intense. And I didn't work out like, you know, a good few months before that session. I grew up very athletic, but I just, you know, I just jumped right into it. And I was like a 30-minute session, and after the session, I started breaking down in the gym in front of everybody, and I was hysterical crying. And he's like, "What's going on?" And I was like, "I think something about like the physical sensation was bringing out emotions out of me." Like he was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "I'm like I think there was so much trauma and things like from my past that were like that like needed to come out that was like tucked away in my subconscious, and somehow like the physical element, because I guess my mind wasn't focusing on those thoughts, but like they needed a release somehow. So for that, it was me. And it sounds like breath work is kind of a similar thing where you're focusing just on like the physical sensation, but it's allowing those thoughts or whatever traumas you have to kind of like come out. Yeah.
Your body. That's what it is. And the amount of realizations I've had in breath work that have brought me closer to my true self. Like one of the biggest ones I had recently was actually going into this shift of working full time for myself. And I had recognized that I was so scared to jump into this because I was so scared that I wouldn't be supported by life, by just life, that it wouldn't work out for me. And I had a moment where I realized that I had actually been blocking myself from love, blocking myself from receiving love. Because, you know, we always hear about giving love. That's like the easiest thing. That's what our society puts a premium on, is giving love. And we learn how to give love. We don't learn how to give it freely, but we learn how to give it, and we learn how to be giving people, but we never learn about receiving love. And I had a breathwork session where I was like, whoa, like I am so terrified because I am unable to let myself to really receive this love right now of being able to make this jump. And it shifted everything for me. And I kind of, those walls collapsed and I felt so much more connected to everybody around me. And it was a beautiful moment. So breathwork is something that helps me have constant, I mean, meditation is in two constantly. Both of these practices are ones that help me have so many realizations about me, myself, and what I believe. And breathwork is one that allows me to really like move my emotions so that they're not stuck energetically in me, so they can be released. And so I can see things with more clarity.
Amazing. Amazing. So now we're going to jump into, so I know the Conscious Collective Club, it's something that it's still a work in progress, but we'll briefly touch on it. What was your reason for starting this?
Yeah. So I laugh about Conscious Collective Club because it was something that I had. So I was still in my full-time role at the time. I was still building up my own meditation business at the time, is like Dominique Perkowski. Then it was just an intuitive pull that I had one day that kind of, when intuition pulls you to go do something, it's like everything's moving really fast, but you don't feel rushed. And that's how I felt when I was building Conscious Collective Club. And I got really excited about it and I built it. And essentially what it is, it's a bunch of meditation practitioners and other types of practitioners as well. So we have Reiki, healing, a lot of people from different backgrounds, because as spiritual or just holistic teachers, we know this community is everything. So we have our own like spirit squad, soul fam, whatever you want to call it. But I think about the people who are starting out who have no connection to this and don't know any of this. And so that was really the inspiration behind it, was like, how can we bring these modalities down to earth so that everybody can benefit from it? Because there's interest in it now, but it's still kind of seen as this thing where it's like, I don't know if I'm a part of that. So Conscious Collective Club was about bringing meditation down to earth through experiences that are more relatable. So we did a meditative dinner. We were going to do a meditative dating event, but then we got some feedback that was like, ah, dating's awkward. And so then meditating and then dating would be a little bit of awkward. We're still thinking about it, but it was about bringing meditation through a real lens, like a practice that you can do before you go out at night to socialize with friends, or a practice that you can do before you go out on a date, or a practice that you can do at a dinner so you can feel connected to everybody around you in a deeper way. Because that's how we see meditation. We see it as a transformative thing that transforms every single moment, and not just as a practice in the morning and night.
Yeah, no, you have some really good prompts in there. I love the one like how to reconnect to yourself. I mean, there was another one like connecting to your inner child. Like those two really stood out to me. And I think people like kind of posing those questions, like those are a lot of the questions where are a bit uncomfortable for some people. They would rather like kind of like stay away from that. But I think the way that you're presenting it, it makes it a bit more like not as scary, a little bit more inviting to like kind of ask yourself those questions. What has been like, I guess from like Conscious Collective Club or just like from your work in general, like what has been feedback that you've gotten from like your clients or things that like, you know, things that tend to come up when people's experiences through this?
Experiences in the sense of meditation or experiences in the sense of
like how I think like we can answer however you want, but I think like, you know, the trauma people struggle with or things that like they've experienced through meditation.
I think the most powerful thing about meditation is that it's always coming from the person that's experiencing what they're experiencing, meaning that sure, I'm there to guide you. Sure, I'm there to lead you to your own inner peace and your own inner joy. I know what words to say. I have the certification in it. I know how to guide you there. But the magic that you experience in meditation, when you start to unravel these beliefs that you've had about yourself, when you start to visualize your future self or your most aligned self or your highest self, that's all coming from you. So I am just there to guide you with unconditional love, to hold that space. And the more I unconditionally love myself is the more I unconditionally love others. And I've practiced for a really long time to be able to show up in that way for people, because it's very important to be a teacher in that way. So everything that people experience is like their own revelation, and it's very different in a lot of different ways. I mean, I think I hear a lot about people having an inner critic, which is something that I relate to, which is why people probably come to me, because I talk about it a lot, and undoing that, or wanting to get to a different level of life and undoing that, or wanting to just feel comfortable in your own skin, to allow yourself to be human through all of it. That is something that people come to me for meditation. It's wonderful to watch them unravel that at their own pace, on their own time, with me just guiding and holding that space to be like, yeah, you're doing everything. You're doing it right. Just keep on going.
Amazing. Now, Dom, let's jump a bit more into, you know, your personal life. So how are you? So, you know, you're jumping into this full time. How are you managing personal, professional life? And what does that look like for you? How are you like taking time for yourself? Which I'm assuming, obviously, you know, meditation is a big part of it, but I'll let you expand.
Meditation is a wonderful big part of it. You know, I was joking with a friend yesterday, and basically most of this month, which is like, it's summertime, people are vacationing, I'm in grind season. Like, I had built up this momentum for myself, something that I don't even really feel like is work, which is another conversation that I've also been having, how when you're so tuned into what you're doing, that even if you work until 10:30, which I don't recommend, you're like, oh my God, I didn't even realize that I was working, because it's something that really brings me joy. So it's a balance, and it's something that I used to think that I would have to have structured time of relaxation and balance. And now through meditation and through just understanding and embodying myself better, I know that there's times where I'm head down working really hard, but I can also bring myself up very quickly for air. So the way I've been balancing it out is I have so many days to do meditation stuff. I get my stuff down on my to-do list, but I always incorporate a space for friends, fun, and play. That is the biggest thing for myself. So I have my mornings to like take care of myself. I go into my work day, and then weekends I try to incorporate as much fun and play as possible. When I feel like I need an extra boost, which I do right now, August, I'm taking vacations for myself to be in nature, to just reconnect with myself. So it's all about the individual. And yeah, you just notice when you need what you need. And that was something that was really hard for me to do before I started meditating, was understanding what I need and giving myself it. But it's something that just helps me show up in a better way.
What about day? Are we dating? Are we in a relationship?
We're dating. We're out there dating.
Okay.
It's been so fun.
It's been fun. Good. How is that? Because I feel like when I ask that question, it's either like, oh God, or like, but I'm glad it's been fun for you. So what is this? How has this played a role in like your dating life? And is it, does it tend to come up in conversation when you're out there? Yeah.
So, you know, before the pandemic, I had gone through a really bad breakup in 2020 going into 2021. It was the type of person that like kind of caused me to wake up, not because they were necessarily a bad person, but just like the way our relationship worked didn't really work. And I woke up to a lot of the stuff of how I was behaving in relationships, and how my beliefs were impacting relationships and beliefs about myself, like my worthiness, my security, all this stuff kind of came into the light. So it's been a brand new experience dating. I just actually started, I was dating throughout the past few years, but it wasn't serious. And this year was the first year where I was like, yes, I'm like amped to be dating again. I feel so secure in myself. I feel so good about where I'm at and what I'm doing. In the past, what I would do is like kind of the moment that a guy that I liked came into my life, I would kind of drop everything I was doing and like hang out with them a lot. And I wouldn't even realize that I was doing it. And then I would feel so attached to them. And I'd be like, well, I sacrificed so much for them. Why aren't they sacrificing for me? And I had realized at one point of my huge like journey that I did this thing where I abandoned myself in relationships so that I wouldn't be abandoned by the other person. But then when they lived their own life or had to go do something, I would then abandon them because I didn't want to have the feeling of abandonment. So it was a cycle of like sacrificing myself in relationships, not standing up for myself in relationships. And then when the person was like, I can't do the same thing for you, I would feel so abandoned. It was a never-ending cycle. So one of the things I learned through my journey was to like feel secure in myself and grow that security within myself. And so dating has been so much more fun. It's been a completely new experience dating from this new mindset, because I show up exactly as I am as much as possible now in dating. So I was joking with this one of these guys that I'm recently went on a few dates with. And I was like, the benefit of like dating a meditation coach is that I'll always leave you better than I found you. You will start introspecting. I'll connect you to everything that you need to know.
Amazing. So
it's fun showing up in this way, because I used to be scared to show up in this way. And I used to think that it was unlovable for me to be in this way. And now I'm kind of like, I just want to date people that align with me, because that's how I'm going to feel the most love in my relationships.
No, and also does, I also do, totally. And I think part of it does come with like age and also just getting to know yourself better. Like I remember I met this guy. I'm dating apps are not for me, but I tried Hinge one time and I was talking to this guy who was in Texas, and we were like, you know, doing voice notes for like 3 or 4 days back and forth, like such a great conversation. It was like so nice to talk to somebody like could speak to me like an emotionally intelligent level. But, you know, after the few days of talking, we just realized like we weren't for each other. And it was so nice to talk to somebody that like, we're like, listen, this was a great conversation. It was so great getting to know you, but like, we're just not each other's person. And like, that's okay. But it was the first time in my life, I swear to you, that like I did not hold anything back about myself. I was so authentically myself. And it was really cool to see like, wow, like you're not ashamed to be exactly who you are and show up as her. And like, it was something like very empowering in that. So empowering.
I also remember like the first person that I had like dated for a consistent part of time after my ex-boyfriend, I remember like going into that and being like, I know that like this guy is not for me, but I really enjoy his company. So I spend a lot of time. He ended up being a really good friend of mine, but there was moments where I was still using him to see like relationships are, especially intimate relationships, especially dating, are the biggest signs to ourselves on what our needs are, what our desires are, and where we're not free, right? Because I used to get very anxious a lot when people weren't like acting in the way that I wanted to, and I would internalize it and think that it was my fault. And then I would show, and then after I started dating again, I would see that somebody would like trigger me in a certain way, and I would start to get anxious, and I'd be like, oh wait, like, what do you need right now? Do you need clarity? Do you need confirmation? Do you need some, like, and can you ask for that? Because I always used to hope that people would, I'm an anxious attachment style. I'm like a recovering anxious attachment style. I don't know if you've read the book Attached, but I started asking for the things that I wanted. And I was like, wow, this is like so powerful to allow people to be exactly who they are, not paint them in rose-colored glasses, and see if the relationship can work from the perspective of you both being your authentic self. Mm-hmm. Because when we like try to rose-colored glasses people, we don't even see them for who they are, and that's unfair to them. It's also unfair to us.
100%. But yeah, I'm definitely in the same boat as you. It's just showing up authentically as you are is like the most damn empowering thing. And like, I'm excited for it. Yeah. So good. And just to wrap up, what are some of your goals, which I think I know, but I'll let you expand. What do you want to like achieve in the next, like, you know, 1 to 2 years?
I am such a present moment gal, because if life has taught me anything, is that like life shifts and moves so quickly that you have to be, it's good to have a plan. It's good to be connected to your intuition. So you can have like a intention and forecast for yourself of like what you'd like to accomplish. But I stay very present moment with a lot of things. Right now in this present moment, what I'm building is a meditation program. I'm so excited about it. It's the first thing that is going to be like my own that I can actually impact people, because I've done meditation monthly programs and I've done group classes and I have mentorships and I have private things, but I've never created something that's like, this is my consistent thing. Show up, come in. It's very like financially for the most part accessible. And I'm just excited to jump into that, because it's going to be an entire program that kind of shows you how to transform your life through meditation. That's like structured to transform your life through meditation, through Tibetan Buddhist philosophy and principles. So never done that before. I've just talked a lot about how meditation transforms your life. And this is the first time I have the opportunity to create a program that actually can take people step by step through it, because I left my full-time job. So jazzed up. That is launching in October. And then after that, we'll just ride and see what calls to us and see what comes up for us and what works and what doesn't. That's like one of the biggest things that I've learned in this journey, is like test and learn, test and learn, test and learn, feel what connects, feel what doesn't. And there's no failure. It's just all learning lessons and learning opportunities.
Amazing. Well, Dom, you're such a light. Like, you are, your energy is everything. I like feel it through the screen. I'm going to put all of your links to the website, to your IG, so people can follow along and then obviously sign up for your meditation classes. But this has been such a pleasure. And I'm like excited to see this journey for you and like take one of your classes in person. I'm so ready for it. But thank you so much for coming on. This was amazing.
Thank you so much for having me, Angel. So excited.
Thanks, guys. All right. Bye. Okay, guys, so if you're hearing this, that means you made it to the end of the episode. So thank you so much for listening as always. Please be sure to subscribe so you're the first to hear about new episodes. Rate and review 5 stars and a nice comment would mean the world. And I thank you in advance. And I also love all the feedback that I get from you guys. It means a lot. And with that said, I'm going to leave all of Dom's socials, her website, everything in the description of this episode. So be sure to check her out and sign up for her meditation session and The Shift. And don't forget to head to the next episode for a 20-minute little sneak peek into The Shift and what it's all about. It's a 20-minute meditation session. I loved it. I got emotional, and it's an experience I think everybody needs to have. With that said, I love you guys. I hope you have an amazing rest of your week. I hope you guys can feel a different shift in your energy. And yeah, I'll see you on the next episode. So head over there. All right. Bye, guys.